May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 743. 743. My business lies at Jesus' gate, where many a Lazarus comes. And here I sue, and here I wait for mercy's falling crumbs. Hymn 743.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read from his holy word two portions. Firstly, the Gospel according to St. Mark, part of chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi the son of Alphaeus sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. It came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We turn now to the first epistle of John, chapter 1. John's first epistle, the first chapter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. for the life was manifested. We have seen it and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, we plead thy gracious, merciful help here this evening, thy rich blessing upon our poor, never dying souls, even that thou wouldst speak to us, and thou wouldst do, Lord, by thy Spirit, what thou didst when here on earth by thy Spirit. Thou didst preach the word unto them, and then we read, and thou didst teach them. O Lord, do apply the word, thine own word, to our souls with saving, teaching power. Lord, we wonder at thy patient forbearance with us. There is none that teacheth like thee, and there is no teacher so patient as thee. Lord, thou dost have to teach us the same lesson over and over again. Oh Lord, we pray, may we receive some teaching from thee tonight. Lord, oh, this is life eternal. They might know thee, thy Father, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Oh, we pray for that knowledge. Make us well our vileness know. Keep us very, very low. But all make known, as far as we're able to bear it here below, the wonders of thy grace, the matchless glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we be favoured to believe on thee tonight. Lord, we pray it may be so. May this be a prayer of faith. Lord, an expectation. Lord, thou art on thy Father's right hand, the Prince and the Saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins. We do pray for those blessed graces. Oh, do convince us each of our sin that we may really feel it and feel the heinousness of it. And Lord, convince us of judgment. Let it say, Lord, concerning thy crucifixion, now is the judgment of this world. Lord, help one to determine to know nothing among this people save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We thank thee for the truth in the hymn, his name is Jesus, for he saves. Oh, we do thank thee for those hymns, Lord. Lord, the grace that is given those men of old, and in some cases women. We think of thy dear handmaid Anne Steele. Oh, Lord, we thank thee for this provision thou hast made for us, and wherein thou hast used those hymns, the good of our souls, and we pray, go on in this way. Lord, we plead for help then. Pour in and grant the opening of a door of utterance. Oh, may it be as it was with Philip. Oh, may I have been sent here this night by thee, with a purpose of grace and mercy, perhaps to one soul, but may it be to each. And he opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And Lord, we thank thee for all thy mercies to us, journeying mercies, sparing, long-suffering mercies, the mercies of thy providence that we lack nothing but have such an abundance. We thank thee for our comfortable homes. Lord, ever make us mindful they are but lodging places. It is not our rest. Lord, we thank thee for the liberty we have to meet in this way, the inclination to do so. And Lord, the word of God which we have, but oh, above all else, we thank thee tonight. Lord, thou knowest those who could not have come in here this evening, were it not for the truth. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And knowest those that have come in here tonight sick. And they've come looking, begging, hoping for a cure. Lord, for the glory of thy name, do grant it. Lord, this is thy purpose in all that thou doest, the glory of thy name. Help us to seek it. Lord, have mercy. If any have not come in seeking, if any have not come in feeling the malady, feeling their need of grace, do, Lord, make them to feel it. Wound them. Even in the service this evening. Lord, help thy people in all their paths. And, oh, do manage everything for us in our lives. Sanctify everything to us to the good of our souls. Forgive every rebellious thought and word concerning the way. Lord, we have no stones to throw at those murmurers of old. Oh, Lord, and the serpent bite is painful. Oh, grant tonight the Son of Man may be lifted up, that serpent-bitten sinners might look and live. Bless the deacons and each church member those in the congregation here and those of us from other churches. Look upon Zion, Lord. Oh, restore us personally and in the churches with which we are connected. Grant that repentance. May we be given an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, and it is this: except ye repent, I will remove the candlestick from its place. And Lord, it has happened in so many places. Oh, how much proof there is of the veracity of thy word. Oh, we pray for that gospel repentance. Turn us individually, personally, from our sins. And the churches, Lord, pour out thy Spirit again, that Spirit whom we have grieved so much. Oh, we thank thee wherein we are favoured to have tokens that thou hast not taken thy Spirit altogether from us. We bless thee for that. But Lord, oh, we ask thee for more. Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we have to say with the hymn writer, while I wander here below, what ills my soul annoy, 'tis of thee I little know and I still less enjoy. The few I can call my friends are like myself in fetters bound, and weariness our steps attend. Lord, it's our fault, not thine. Thou art the same. We bless thee for it. Lord, oh, do not leave us to a carnal thought concerning that word, thou art the same. Lord, we pray for renewal. And knowest those of us whom thou hast blessed, those of us whom thou didst bring near unto thee, bring us near again, nearer, nearer to thee, clearing. May our helpless souls be found. Draw me. We will run after thee. Oh, do forgive our many, many, many sins. We plead that precious blood of which we've read again, and pray it may cleanse us even this night from all our sins. Lord, we pray for our nation and the nations of this world in this time of such wickedness, immorality. Brazen rebellion against thee. Lord, we are not surprised that the world is in the condition it is with regard to all the confusion, hatred, warfare. And Lord, all the solemn lack of wisdom, as thou art giving us children to rule over us. Oh, have mercy, we pray. Lord, help us. Sanctify these things to us each. Let thy judgments help us. Thy servant Peter, Lord, help us to take heed to those words. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be? Lord, we are not what we ought to be. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst correct us, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring us to nothing. Might it please thee to grant yet thy merciful staying of thy hand. In wrath, Lord, remember mercy. And show thyself on thy people's behalf, the Lord God omnipotent who reigneth. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us sing hymn 736, 736. Show me some token, Lord, for good, some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God, and that my treasure is above. Hymn 736.
Thank you.
in dependence on the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter we read in Mark, the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 2. Verse 5. The Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 2, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. What a wonderful blessing this man obtained. Isn't a greater blessing, is there? How each one of us need it. If we have ever had it before, how we need it again. Because we are sinners. I thought of that man we read of in the Word, full of leprosy. Full of it. And we are full of sin. But it's only the special sovereign grace of God that can make us feel it. You see, how vital is that promised Holy Spirit? Jesus said, and when he is come, he will reprove, that is, convince of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. And it's a very solemn thing. It is sin that puts people in hell. Nothing else does. And the Lord will make sin the greatest burden that you ever had. You make it the greatest trouble you've ever been in. And those of you that have been in it, you will know what I mean. Dear John Berridge, in another hymn, he speaks of the daily matter with a child of God. Art thou by sin a captive led? Is that where you've been today? Led captive by your sins. Is sin thy daily grief? The man that break the serpent's head can bring thee sweet relief, and no one else can. What an awful thing, my dear friend, to think we've got relief from sin in another way than having it pardoned, as this man had it pardoned. There have been those of the Lord's people, haven't there, called by grace and brought out of that apostate church of Rome. It was a good church to begin with. I understand for several hundred years after the ascension of Christ. But then it fell, became an apostate church. teaching the commandments of men, not the commandments of God, calling sinners to come and confess their sins to a sinner, and that sinner absolving them of their sins. What an awful thing. But you see, God has a people. And wherever they are, he'll bring them out. And he'll bring them each to this place this man was brought to. Clearly, the Lord sanctified his bodily affliction in a remarkable way. He was afflicted with a palsy, such that he couldn't walk. But there was a work of grace going on. And not only in his heart, but in the heart of four friends of his. And it was noise that Jesus was in the house. My dear friend, tonight, blessed be his dear name, Jesus is in the house. Wherever the gospel is faithfully preached, wherever he yet has a church here on this earth, and wherever the Holy Spirit is being granted, Jesus is in the house. Is that what's brought you to this chapel tonight? It's been noised that Jesus is in this place. And many people gathered at that house, such that the house was full and there was a crowd about the door, so that when this man, carried by four friends, comes to the place, he can't get near the Lord Jesus. Oh, but he can. What did Jesus say? The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Would it be surprising to hear some of those people saying, whatever you're doing, breaking up the roof of the house? But they said that of Bartimaeus, when he is crying out, when he is taking the kingdom of heaven by violence in a different way. With that prayer of faith, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They bade him be quiet. But when the Spirit is at work, my dear friend, in that way, the poor sinner can't be quiet. Do you know what it is, my dear friend? 1 hour to be unable to pray one prayer, and the next hour be unable to stop praying. Tis the Spirit that quickeneth. The powerful, the almighty Spirit. These men, the five of them, had faith. For our text says, when Jesus saw their faith, what does James say? Faith without works is dead. All manner of people will say, They believe in Jesus. The question is, does their faith ever bring them to him? Does their faith ever obtain from him this blessing, the forgiveness of sins? All real faith will do so eventually. Perhaps you are at the point, you've come into this place this evening and you're at the point, and that your faith has brought you to him. Sometimes. The Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zor and Eshtaol. I tell you, if it does so, that faith will, in the end, obtain the blessing, the forgiveness of sins. When he saw their faith, the Lord here used this man's four friends as something wonderful here in the Word of God, in this point of teaching. The Lord commands his people to pray one for another. Paul exhorts them, doesn't he, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. All the law is comprehended in this: thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. You know, you and I don't know who are praying for us. It is a great favour. I think I read once of a man who was in great soul trouble, and his friend wrote to him and spoke of how he had felt a spirit of prayer for him, and it was such an encouraging thing to that poor man in his trouble. Because he reasoned like this: if God has given his son, that man, a spirit of prayer for me, surely there is hope. How many a child has been born by their parents, taken them to the Lord Jesus in faith. Oh, it must be so in every true pastor's case. You remember that promise of the Lord given through the prophet Jeremiah to the church: I will give you pastors according to mine own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And if you have a pastor according to Christ's heart, that pastor will take you in prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only pastors, deacons. I believe it is so with your deacons here. You don't know, my dear friend, how in the night seasons or through the day, how they bear you before the throne. You know, if more of this Spirit were poured out upon the churches, what a good thing it would be. When Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. But you see, it is as led by the Spirit, always done in faith. Faith looks singly to God in Christ. Oh, you see, this man, he had an impossibility, didn't he? There was no cure for this affliction which he had. And when we look upon ourselves as the Lord opens our eyes, and when we look upon others, how could we take them to the Lord? How could we come ourselves to the Lord until faith is given us? That faith that, as the hymn writer says, laughs at impossibilities and says it shall be done. That faith that looks for all in Christ. That faith that pleads what the Word of God says, pleads the name of Jesus, pleads the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, if that word we read in John's epistle this evening took hold of us, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, we should, on the ground of that promise, go to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and ask him that he would fulfill the word which he caused his servant John to write. When he saw their faith, we could speak of him seeing it in two ways. Firstly, he saw it in that which they had done. He saw it as he saw that hole opening in the roof above his head. He saw it as he saw that stretcher being lowered down into the room before him. He saw their faith. But then, you see, he could see deeper than that. He saw it in their heart, because that's where their faith was. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus could see what was going on in their hearts, as well as beholding what they were actually doing as a fruit of what was working in their heart. When he saw you coming into this chapel this evening, did he also see what was going on in your heart? Well, he did. The question is, did he see faith? If he did, he put it there. He put it there. He's the author and the finisher of it. He's the strengthener of it. Surely these men, they suffered a trial of their faith when they came to this house and found they couldn't get inside it. They couldn't get to the person who they needed to get to. Their faith was tried. Unbelief would say, the door is shut. The Lord was going to make a door where there wasn't one. The key of the house of David, he said, will I lay upon his shoulder. He shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. But as their faith was tried, and as this mountain appears before them, The Lord himself strengthened their faith. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. You know, I believe some of you have known this. You see, when the Lord so powerfully works in our hearts, it's like that woman of Canaan, wasn't it? I can no denial take when I plead for Jesus' sake. And you know, although in the grace of faith, there is a need for patience. He that believeth shall not make haste. Also in faith, there is a sense of urgency. If your faith never has a sense of urgency about it, you will never obtain what this man obtained. Can you not look back, child of God, tonight and go along with the hymn writer and say, Lord, mine's an urgent, pressing case. Bartimaeus, whom we mentioned just now, he was blind, so he couldn't see what was going on. But in the providence of God, he was sat by the wayside begging. And Jesus came right along that road by which he sat. That's how it is tonight, my dear friend, in this service. That's how it is in this world with you and me. Paul says, doesn't he, in his sermon on Mars Hill, the purpose of God in the preaching of the word of God, the preaching of the gospel, that men should seek after him, feel after him, if happily they might find him. That word in Isaiah, did it ever take hold of you? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Didn't Bartimaeus feel Jesus might never pass along this piece of road again? You and I might never be in the house of God again. You and I might not live to see another day. The word says, doesn't it, boast not thyself of tomorrow. There might not be one. Just eternity. Thou knowest not what the day might bring forth. And oh, when you are made to feel the burden of your sin, oh, may the Lord so make us feel the heinousness of it. The urgency of our need of pardon. Because if we die without sin forgiven, what an awful thing that will be. So this faith of theirs, it was a tried faith. But the trial proved that it was real. Perhaps this evening your trial is not exactly the same as it was with these men's trial, and yet there are similarities in it. You cannot get to Jesus. The devil says to you in your unbelieving heart, says to you, no, today's not the day. And he'll say the same tomorrow, and he'll say the same the next day. Why? Because he's got in mind there's a day coming when you're going to die, and he wants you to get to that day without obtaining the blessing. How many days of your life have you spent saying, when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. When I'm in a better condition, I will come to Christ. Has it happened? Oh, may the Lord even this night bring us to Him. You know, it is a great favour. The way I'm speaking this evening, do not let anyone think that you can make yourself different. But what I'm preaching is that we must be made different. We must not deceive ourselves thinking that we are going to obtain a blessing without being different. Oh, the Spirit works powerfully, effectually, sometimes very gently. But He always brings His people in this faith to Jesus. You see, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. What does the Word of God say of Jesus? What is His Word in the Word of God? It is all His Word. I mean, what does He say to sinners in His Word? Is it not come to me? Does not the Word of God set forth that His name is Jesus, for He saves His people from their sins? Doesn't the Word say that His blood cleanseth from all sin? Doesn't His Word declare that He, and we read it, don't we, a few verses further on in this portion, He's the physician of the sick, that He calls sinners to repentance, not the righteous? Does His Word not say in John 6 that all that the Father giveth Him shall come to Him, and him that cometh to Him He will in no wise cast out? Doesn't the Word say in Him is eternal life? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Doesn't the Word say He's the resurrection of the dead and the life of all that live? Is His name not Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness? Does His Word not say that Christ died for the ungodly? Now when these words are spoken with power, the effect is faith. And that faith brings that sinner to Him just as they are. What a blessed thing it is when you and I are delivered from our unbelief, which always denies the Word of God, always denies Christ. Sometimes our unbelief denies Him. His very being, His very office. Sometimes our faith denies, our unbelief denies His greatness. Denies His all-sufficiency. When we are saying we can't come to Christ like this, it's unbelief denying how great a Saviour He is. It's denying that He will fulfil the word which He Himself has spoken. If you find what you think is a reason why you cannot come to Christ, Surely that is a denial of his word, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. But you see, it is when this faith is wrought by the Spirit, then our unbelief is overcome. As Jonathan Rankin Anderson put it, if you come not to Christ as an unbeliever, you'll never come as a believer. This faith that was given them, it brought them to Jesus Christ. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. You say, I can't say that. I can't say that his blood was shed for me. No, the hymn writer didn't mean that. Pleading that his blood might have been shed for me, placing my only hope of forgiveness, of reception, of salvation, placing my only hope and my only plea on this truth, the blood of Jesus Christ. When he saw their faith, Top Lady describes the faith, doesn't he, when he says, naked, come to thee for dress. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. And you see, that last line I've just quoted, it brings me to say this. The Holy Ghost, when he convinces us of sin, when he makes us feel in some measure our sin, yes, it is the day of death that is such a solemn thought, an awful thought, but it's now. Top Lady said, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Have you felt perhaps today, child of God, that your sin is killing you? I mean, in your life, it's killing you. It's making you dead in your life. Why is it? Because sin is separating you from God, and separation from God is death. The sin of idolatry. Your heart is taken up with something before God. What idolaters we are. John says, doesn't he, little children, keep yourselves from idols. How can we? John knew. When he lay on Jesus' breast at supper, he knew how idols are cast out. Oh, when Jesus revealed himself to him on the Isle of Patmos, he knew how the Lord keeps his people from idols. John's epistle is centered on the love of God in Christ, isn't it? John knew how a sinner can keep himself from idol. Jude says, doesn't he, in his epistle, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, it doesn't mean that you and I can by our own fleshly endeavours do it, but neither does it mean that we are to just sit there and say, oh, I can't do it. Of course, that's true. We can't do it. It's Rabbi Duncan's voice, isn't it? That the Lord has his people in. And one of those jaws of that voice says, I must. I must believe. I must repent. I must keep myself from idols. The other jaw says, I cannot. But don't forget the must jaw. It's not one jaw, it's two. If you and I are allowed to go through life saying, I can't do it, where shall we end up? In hell. If we go through life saying, I can do it, where shall we end up? In hell. But if the Lord puts in our heart trust in Jesus Christ, and we are brought to him time and time and time again all the way through, asking him to do it for us. Thy whole dependence on me fix, nor entertain a thought thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught. Where shall we end up? By the grace of God in heaven. Where did the beggar in Jesus' account? Where was he landed? The one that would fain have eaten the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, lay at his gate and the dogs licked his sores, carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. When he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. The Lord saw who this man was. He'd had his eye on him from all eternity. When he was born, he saw him. Every day of his life, as he lay on that bed of affliction, he'd seen him. And he'd seen him as one of his brethren. One of Jesus' brethren. Not ashamed, he says, to call them brethren. The Son of God. The Spirit of God makes every one of the children of God to know their adoption in him, Son. The Lord himself declares it. The ladies and girls here this evening, oh, may the devil not say, well, this cannot be for you. Remember what Paul says in one of his epistles, in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God's grace, there is neither male nor female. That doesn't mean that there aren't male and female in the usual sense of it. It means that there is no distinction with regard to the giving of grace, with regard to the speaking of forgiveness. There is no preference with regard to the giving of grace to one above the other. The Lord, of course, clearly makes a distinction known with regard to teachers in the churches, deacons and ministers and so on. But, oh, how many a godly girl or godly woman has had as much and in some cases more grace than the man who stands in the pulpit, or the man who stands at the desk, or the man who stands in the prayer meeting calling publicly upon God. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You see, the forgiveness of sins rests upon the truth of sonship. Every child of God, their sins are forgiven by God, because God has loved them with an everlasting love and given them in eternity past to his Son, and his Son has lived for them, died for them, risen for them and ascended for them and appears for them, interceding for them in heaven, because they are sons. The relationship that God has to them and they have to him, and of course they don't know that relationship until this is made known in such a way as Jesus made it known to this man here. Son, son. Paul, in teaching the vital difference between the law and the gospel, he emphasizes this truth of sonship, using the two sons of Abraham, Ishmael and Isaac, to illustrate and set forth this point. The son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Isaac was a child of promise. God formed in the womb both of those sons, but one of them was a son of God and one was not. Had the same parent, father, different mothers. Jesus, when he is speaking of liberty, he emphasizes the same truth. He says, the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now how is this in our soul's experience? What does Ishmael set forth? What does the child of the bondwoman set forth? It sets forth the work of the law. Legal obedience. And it is impossible for us to obtain the favour of God and therefore liberty in that way. It was impossible for this man or you or me to obtain forgiveness by the deeds of the law. When he saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, son, the faith that God gives to his children is faith in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, especially as God sets himself forth, shows his glory in the most blessed way, as we were speaking Lord's Day evening, draws a sinner to God in sending his Son, his co-equal Son, as the man, Christ Jesus, the mediator, one who can put his hand upon the sinner and upon an holy God. Why? Because he has come and fulfilled all righteousness. He has come and magnified the law. He has come and obeyed that law. This man, sick of the palsy, had broken and was incapable of keeping. And he had suffered. He was to suffer at this time. He has suffered now and bled and died in the place of the sons of God. Sinners. Loved of God with an everlasting love. Son. Son. We have been taught here then the ground upon which we must prevail with God. We can't prevail with him any other way. And this reveals the lie of our unbelief, which says I cannot come to God like I am. You say, I don't know, I'm a son. Nor did this man before he came. But faith comes on the terms that God declares in his word. God doesn't say in his word to sinners that they must do this and they must do that and they must do the other to please him, to make themselves right before they come to him. No. A prophet will the Lord raise up unto you like unto Moses. Of your brethren, him shall ye hearken unto. It was noised that Jesus was in the house. Do you know what it is? Perhaps laid on your bed at night, sat in your chair or in your office, about your business, on the farm or wherever it is. And the Spirit reminds you firstly of your need and then of who Jesus is. And the Spirit noises that Jesus is in the house. He's not far off. He comes nigh unto his people. He came into their very nature without sin. He came into their law place. He is not afar off as one who is sat on high and demanding that sinners come up to him. No, he is in the depths as he is preached by the Spirit. I'm not speaking of where he is now. I'm speaking of how the gospel sets him forth. And this is the way sinners are drawn to him. Jesus Christ and him crucified. His noise that he was in the house. And your soul, as it is noised by the Spirit that he is in the house, that he is accessible to sinners, that the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. But then this beautiful sentence. Had this word hovering around me on the Lord's day, but felt the Lord directed me to speak from those other words. But then the last hymns, Lord's Day evening, seemed to settle me as this to be the text for this evening. For in that hymn it says, Jesus whispered this sweet sentence, Son, thy sins are all forgiven. And here we have it. What a sweet sentence it is. Thy sins. Firstly, The Lord Jesus knew all of them. What a sight. But it was to become more than a sight, wasn't it? He was to bear them. Jesus knew that before him lay that day when he would be crucified for this man, thy sins. It's a transgression of the law. You and I, as I said just now, we're full of it. Thy sins. Enmity against God, worldliness, carnality, lust, pride, deceit, hardness, rebellion. Perhaps the Holy Spirit will have me speak like this. You had some difficulties in your life today. Did you find yourself murmuring? Did it go even further than that and you uttered something? It was sin. You see, whatever God appoints in our life, he appoints it in wisdom. Did you ever speak about something in your life, in your circumstances? The way the Lord is dealing with you, and he had at least this inference in it, God has made a mistake. Has somebody hurt you? And your sin has hurt you more than the actions of those people? I was telling the friends on the Lord's Day, some years ago, I'd sown my small seeds, had a beautiful tilth, and sowed all my seeds on my allotment. The hope that they would germinate in the Lord's blessing. I went up the next day and bicycle tread marks across that seed bed. Ruined. And oh, the sin of my heart that rose up. The wretched state I got myself in. Over a silly seedbed. Something of such little consequence, really. I had to go and preach that evening. There was only one text I could go with. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's the substance of every sermon. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, he had come to the right person, hadn't he? He had come to him who had power on earth to forgive sins. It's so significant. You see, these five men, the one that obtained the forgiveness and those four that brought him in faith, they had faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. A man who is the Son of God. And these people that looked on, when they heard Jesus say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," they said, "He's only a man. He can't forgive sins. God alone can forgive sins." You see, what those people couldn't possibly know, firstly, was that he was the Son of God because he had taken the nature of man without sin. And the appearance of this man, the Word of God speaks of only one difference. His visage was marred more than any man's, and his form more than the sons of men. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But of course, they also couldn't know what was in that man's heart when Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. That man came to Jesus believing him to be the Son of God, but oh, how his faith was increased when he heard him say, thy sins be forgiven. What is this blessing? Forgiveness. God forgiving our sins, blotting them out so that we shall never be punished for them. God taking those sins away and blotting them out forever. God not holding those sins against us. God putting those sins away in such a way as though we had never committed them. Isn't that what he means when he says, I've blotted out thy sins as a thick cloud? Isn't that what it means when he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us? Forgiveness. Oh, the kindness. The unspeakably great kindness. Oh, how true those people were. None can forgive sins but God only. They're committed against him. Those sins aren't quite infinite. They're unnumberable to you and to me, but they're numbered by God. He knows the very sum of them. But the one who forgives is infinite. The sacrifice that was made on Calvary's cross is infinite, not in its extent, but in its measure. What I mean by that is the sacrifice at Calvary doesn't forgive everyone's sins, but it forgives every sin of those for whom he died. Thy sins are forgiven. Oh, the mercy. Only on account of what Jesus suffered, only on account of the great sum he paid, this man's sins are forgiven. Jesus didn't say, because of this and that about you, I will take that into account and I'll forgive your sins. When God forgives sin, he only takes one thing into account. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, and that's enough. May we not be finally weighed in the balances and found wanting. On the one side of that balance tonight is a huge debt. But if Jesus say, thy sins are forgiven, on the other side is an infinite sum. The blood of the God-man. Well, might Joseph Hart say, the blood of Christ has brought you nigh. Invaluable blood. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. forgiven forever, forgiven completely. Wonderful. Oh, when this blessing is given, then the sinner is melted. Melted in true brokenness. That looking upon him whom they've pierced and mourning for him and being in bitterness. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. This man then was brought to the Lord Jesus. He came in faith. Faith looks completely out of self to him. The Lord bless you and me with more of it. He came to the Lord Jesus and he didn't go away without the blessing. His faith was tried, but the Lord made a way through for him. He drew him, brought him down through that roof, and then he spoke. You see, this is what faith really does. Sometimes, you know, shame on us. We might say our prayers, but we're not really asking for anything. Not really. We're not really coming to Jesus. You see, there is a reality in this. Really coming to Jesus and putting our case before him. It's a solemn matter, you know. And the substance of faith is, Lord, have mercy, but let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Because it isn't prayers that save us. It's answers, isn't it? Oh, it's a blessing to be a praying soul. Only because the praying soul, firstly, is in the presence of the Lord. They're coming, they're having communion with the Lord in that exercise of prayer. But secondly, it is most blessed because all prayer indicted by the Lord, he'll surely hear. He went away with his first blessing, the greatest blessing. The Lord dealt with this man according to the wise divine order of importance. What if this man had been healed of his palsy, but not had his sins forgiven? Yes, he would have had a great blessing in being healed of his palsy, but his soul wouldn't have been saved. You've got things in your life, haven't you? It might be an illness or it might be something else. Whether you're making it the most important thing or not, may the Lord in his mercy show you what's the most important thing. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening. Mr. Bernard Burgess will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Graham Cottingham on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn number 76. 76. There is a period known to God when all his sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in. Hymn number 76.
Thank you.
We do thank thee for the wonderful words of forgiveness. We thank thee, Lord, that still thou art waiting to be gracious. Still thou hast forgiveness to speak. And we pray that we may daily be at thy footstool, seeking it and obtaining it. Pardon all our sin and miss. Keep us safe. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.